This lovely Christmas hymn comes from a 2-CD set titled Lutheran Service Book Hymns and Services. We'll send you this resource of 26 hymns for any sized year-end donation to Issues Etc. You can contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and mail it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible online contribution at issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support at the end of 2012.
Concordia Seminary Chorus with the first stanza of the Christmas hymn, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. Well, I don't know about you, but I could assemble a nativity scene blindfolded without even looking. I could get everybody in the right places. I could get the baby Jesus in the manger, Mary and Joseph and the three wise men and the shepherds and a few of the animals, and nothing would be missing. I could do it because I've heard this story 1,000 times. I've seen it. Even the text of Luke chapter 2 reads like something that we have all heard so many times we can almost follow along and finish the sentences, right? So how do you revisit this story, be it in a sermon or a Sunday school class, where even the kids, the little kids, know the story already? How do you tell the story of Jesus' birth in a way that is faithful to the text, where Jesus shines forth clearly as the Savior of the world without, well, without simply repeating again and again and again what people have already heard? Oh, maybe that's what we should be doing, telling that story again and again and again. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He's going to teach a Sunday school lesson with us for the last half hour on this Tuesday afternoon, The Birth of Jesus, Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses. He is director of development for the Concordia Mission Society and host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Well, thank you.
How do you do it? I mean, how you've been a pastor how many years now?
Oh, I don't know. That's like how long? Since 1960, since 71.
So 1971. So a good long time.
Yes.
And you have probably preached on this many, many, many times. You have taught Sunday school teachers how to teach on this. This is perhaps the most familiar story in all of Sunday school lore. How do you tell this story to people who've heard it 1,000 times before?
I have a technique when I do seminars and sermons. The first part of the sermon is to confuse the laity in the pew. And the reason I do that is because I ask a question, and just off the top of my head, I can think of, and this is from experience, these are 5 questions that even Lutheran laity often get wrong. And any one of them could start a sermon or a Bible study. Here they are. Who was at the Bethlehem stable? Why do we call it Christmas? Why was it necessary for him to be born a human? What is the reason for the season? And if you believe that Jesus was born, crucified, and rose from the dead, will you go to heaven? 90% of those in my seminars get these questions wrong, or they don't know them.
So we don't know the story as well as we ought to, is what you're saying.
Not at all. In fact, let's just take the first one. Who is at the Bethlehem stable? Some seminarians got in a little bit of trouble recently at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. They have a wonderful nativity scene with the shepherds, Mary, Joseph, the wise men, etc. But they had attended a class and learned that the wise men really didn't come till perhaps a year later. So they moved the wise men to the other side of the area. And it was not appreciated because that had been a gift from somebody to the seminary. But show me a creche where the wise men aren't there. And see, this is one of the first things a lot of people get wrong. In fact, I often thought about doing a book of how what we were taught as Sunday school children, etc., really isn't in connection with what the Bible actually says. And this would be one of the main ones, because the wise men simply weren't there with the shepherds. They never met each other. And how about the question, why do we call it Christmas? You know why I know that most laity won't know the answer to that? I don't know what happened in my seminary education, but until I started studying for this lesson, Todd, I didn't know. I know it's Christ and Mass, but why they call it Christmas is on Christmas Day, the day they celebrate his birth, they always had the Mass. And the Mass is the Roman Catholic word used to conduct worship with a Lord's Supper. So every Christmas had the Lord's Supper, and that's why they call it a Christ Mass, and we call it Christmas. But I guarantee you, just go out into the street and ask anybody, why do we call it Christmas? And I don't think they will know that. The other question was, why did Jesus have to be born human? The answer to that is actually found in the book of Revelation. In fact, it's my favorite chapter, Revelation chapter 5, where John, in a vision, sees in the right hand of him who sits on the throne a scroll written inside on the back, sealed with seven seals, and he asks, who's worthy to open the scroll? But it's not John who asks, a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. You see, we find out that this scroll reveals the salvation of mankind. But if it's not opened, then nobody is saved. And strong angel, as sinless as he is not permitted to open it until one appears who is none other than Jesus Christ, who appears as a slain lamb. And he comes and takes from the right hand of him who sits on the throne, which is God the Father, the scroll. He had to be born a human because not even an angel could pay for the sins of human beings. Then, what is the reason for the season? I'll bet you 10 people will say the birth of Jesus. We need to listen to the angels, because the angel says, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Did you hear that? There's born to you this day. The reason for the season is for the comfort of mankind. Then the final point I made, if you believe that Jesus was born, crucified, and rose from the dead, will you go to heaven? No, you'll go straight to hell. What? Because the Pharisees knew he was born. The Pharisees knew he was crucified. They were there. The Pharisees knew he rose from the dead. They paid the soldiers to lie about it, and like the raising of Lazarus, thought it was a trick of the devil. That is not saving faith just to believe the history of the Scripture. But you take the history away, and there's no faith possible at all, because what saving faith is believing the promises of the gospel connected to the real historical events of Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. So there's five questions I could ask most people, and they'll get them all wrong. Well, 80% of the people I talk to don't know the answers to that. And so there's plenty of other questions we can talk about when we get to Christmas.
I wonder, Tom, in the few minutes that we have before we take this break, the famous account begins with a decree going out from Caesar Augustus. And we've already heard a decree already. We talked about it a couple weeks ago with the birth of Jesus foretold, where an angel was sent from God to a virgin in Nazareth 9 months earlier. A divine decree went out already. And now we kind of come down to the human level, the history level, where Caesar
yes.
Augustus thinks he's assembling his entire empire. What he doesn't know is that he is setting into place the events. He's putting into place the events that will bring Jesus to that very manger and to be born.
Yes, Caesar Augustus actually was Octavian. And in 27 BC, the Roman government gave him the title Augustus, which means exalted one. I mean, it's like he was God. And this is just really ironic how the true God uses the fake God to accomplish his promises and fulfill his prophecies. And by telling that a census had to be taken, and you had to have a census in order to be taxed, and also women were taxed, that's why Mary had to go with Joseph to Bethlehem, guess what? Micah 5:2 is fulfilled, thanks to Caesar Augustus, who has no idea that he's setting into motion the salvation of the world. That's why in Romans 13, even though it's another Caesar, we're to obey the government in those things that cause us not to sin, because they are put in place by God. I mean, there's so much in this story.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show Law and Gospel. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon, the birth of Jesus, that very familiar story, Luke chapter 2, the first 20 verses, and we'll walk through the rest of the story with Pastor Tom Baker. I invite your questions and comments, if you have them, on this Tuesday afternoon, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. By the way, you can find out more about Tom's show, Law and Gospel, at our website, issuesetc.org. Just go there and click Listen on Demand. You'll find out more about Law and Gospel.
This is Pastor Jeff Siegel of St. Mary Evangelical Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Iowa, where God gathers us around his means of grace to offer us forgiveness, life, and salvation. Whether you are looking for a church or just visiting Des Moines, if you like Issues, etc., St. Mary's is the church for you. Join us as we gather together every Sunday to continue the Reformation tradition of Christ-centered, cross-focused worship, preaching, and teaching. For more information, go to www.stmarylutheran.org. Remember to spell out Saint.
Logia, a journal of Lutheran theology, is a quarterly publication for the Confessional Lutheran, and they have a special 20th anniversary CD. This CD contains every issue of Logia for the last 20 years. It's a PDF file with search capabilities and bookmarks. This special anniversary CD is an excellent addition to your theological library. You can pre-order it for just $40. That's 50 cents per issue. Find out more at logia.org, logia.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, etc.
A Savior who is Christ the Lord, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
This child's soft infant flesh will one day be the sacrifice that pays for our sins.
And for any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of this sermon and a sermon preached by Todd on the Confession of Peter. You can make a year-end online gift today at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.
Flocks were sleeping. Shepherds keeping.
second stanza of the Christmas hymn, Infant Holy, Infant Lowly. We're talking about that story from Luke's Gospel, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. We follow the course of these conversations with Tom, basing them on a Sunday school curriculum that comes from Concordia Publishing House that keeps Christ at the center of all the stories, not just the nativity story, but Christ at the center in his saving work, his death and his resurrection, of all the stories that it brings to you from Holy Scripture, called Growing in Christ. You can find out more about Growing in Christ, the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House, by giving them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. David is listening in Kansas City. David, welcome.
Thank you, Pastor Wilkin. Greetings to you and Pastor Baker. Hey, I just wanted to have you guys both comment on the pairing of the of Luke's gospel with the epistle reading for Christmas Eve there in the lectionary, you know, Titus 2:11-14, where, you know, while we see the narrative play out the events of Christmas, we see it explained as God's grace in Titus 2:11-14.
David, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Kansas City. What are your thoughts there, Tom?
11 says, this is Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And that's obviously talking about Jesus Christ, because verse 13 even says it. Context is everything. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, this also is what the angels say in Luke 2:14. They say, glory to God in the highest. And I'll tell you, just ask most lady, what are they referring to? Do we give glory to God? No. What that phrase means, glory to God, I like to think about Exodus 24, where the same kind of concept is found, the glory of the Lord. It says, now the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Now, that's what we mean by the glory of God, his presence. So when the angels say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men, the only way they can say on earth is because Jesus has now become the glory. And what a difference, and I think that's what David may be bringing out also, in Exodus, the glory is like a consuming fire. In Luke, the glory is a baby lying in a cow shed. And yet the shepherds, because of the Holy Spirit, rejoice in great faith, trusting the promises of the angels as the Holy Spirit gives them that faith. And that's our goal with the children, not just to tell them the story, but to give them that faith which the shepherds had.
The angel's message, as the angel appears to the shepherds, and I, you talked about it a little bit before the break, but I'd like you to go into it a little bit more. In verse 19, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. What's there in that message, that announcement that the angel makes of Christ's birth?
There's a fellow who does Lutheran satire, and he just put out a recent one. It's a shepherd standing in a field, and the angels that you see on television appear to him, and he has a nice conversation with them. But then he says, and here are the angels that appear to the shepherds. And the shepherd just starts yelling and screaming. Because, I mean, can you imagine seeing these angels? That's why the first word they say is, fear not. Well, when you come face-to-face with the heavenly. And by the way, these are the same angels we will meet on Judgment Day, because Jesus sends the angels to gather all those before him on that great judgment, the sheep and the goats. But it's the same thing Gabriel said to Mary. Fear not, because we're not here to hurt you. We're not bringing judgment. We're bringing good news. And by the way, that's the gospel of great joy that will be for all the people. Now, we often think that Jesus just represented the Jews. But we got to remember, and we went over this some time ago, Todd, that Jesus' ancestry includes Rahab and Ruth, Gentiles. So even in his being conceived and born of the Virgin Mary, in that line, Jesus is also for Gentiles and for Jews. It's a wonderful message, and that is the item that the angels are stressing.
He refers to the baby lying in the manger in swaddling cloths,
yes,
as a sign for you. But this is obviously more than just a sign. This is the thing itself. Isn't this the good news they're talking about?
Well, I'd say two things on that. When John the Baptizer sends his disciples to Jesus, are you the Messiah? Jesus responds, not, yes, I am. He says, no, go tell John, the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk. And he's quoting from Isaiah, which prophesied how we will know the sign of the Messiah. You see, a lot of times the sign isn't something that you hear from the heavens, like at Jesus' baptism, where the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Sometimes the sign is because there was a promise. And the promise from Micah is that he would be born in Bethlehem. So, the sign never is able to be seen by the unbeliever. They just don't recognize it. Jesus is on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Psalm 22 said almost every Sabbath in the synagogue, and it clicks in none of the Pharisees. None of them recognize, except maybe for Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. So what is happening here, a sign is simply what God has foretold, and that babe now is a promise that in that baby is the salvation of the world.
Finally there, with about a minute or so, kind of come back to where we began, Tom. What is the message for the kids this week in a story that they have already by now in their short lives heard many times, and in this season already, I'm sure they've heard it many times already. So far, what's the message for the kids this week with about a minute?
The message for Christmas is there's a sign for them. They can't go see the live Jesus. They can't even see the adult Jesus because he's invisible. But what they can do is go and look at the waters of baptism. That is a sign that they have a rebirth day, where they have been brought into the Holy Christian Church by God himself. And so the same Holy Spirit that moved Jesus in his ministry now is within them. And their sins have been forgiven, and they are right with God.
Pastor Tom Baker is Director of Development for the Concordia Mission Society and host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next week, we'll talk with Tom about the presentation of Jesus. Here's a post left at our Facebook page today by David. He says, I just wanted to say thanks for all that you've done this year. The Lord Jesus has used you greatly in my life in the last year as my wife and I have journeyed from evangelicalism to the faithful presentation of the Word and Sacrament in confessional Lutheranism. December 1st, we completed adult catechesis in our new Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod congregation. Well, folks, that's a common response that we hear from our listeners. We're gratified to hear it, to know that through us, the Lord is bringing many to a knowledge of the truth. Please support Issues Etc., a voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, by making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make an online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us as you consider your year-end giving. Tom's absolutely right, because the story is told many times, and it's laid out in its historic facts. And without the history, of course, there's no salvation. That's the whole point of Christmas, that God has entered our history, our world, our flesh, that he might redeem all of it through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. That's the history, and it is absolutely necessary. But the angel himself says, when he speaks to those shepherds, unto you is born this day, that this child is born for you. This child lives for you. This child suffers. This child dies. This child rises again for you. That's the true joy and comfort of Christmas. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Folks, we're currently $30,000 short of making budget this year, and we have 2 weeks left in 2012. Please support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make an online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make a tax-deductible contribution by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.